This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
I tell you what, I appreciate the errors that Stugatz makes on the regular because it really lowers the bar, the expectations for what we have to do when we fill in. This is the Dan Le Batard Show here on ESPN Radio. Filling in for Dan Le Batard, it's me, Jen Latta. Filling in for Stugatz, it's Katie George. What's up, Katie?
Should I guarantee mistakes right off the bat just to be my best Stugatz today, Jen? Do you think
Absolutely.
That would be appropriate?
Okay. Absolutely. I feel like it makes the audience and the listeners feel like we get the show, because that's a big thing here, right?
Oh, it's a huge thing. I learned that the hard way last
yeah,
week.
I saw your approval ratings.
Hopefully you and I can have a better approval rating than I had with Peter Burns. Let's just put it that way.
We got a pretty stacked show for everybody out there. And lots of things to talk about. We're 1 week away from the MLB season. July 30th is the start of the NBA season. The NHL season starts on August 1st. We're going to hear from Emily Kaplan, our ESPN NHL reporter, a little bit later in the show. There was a mind-blowing expose that Sports Illustrated put out about former NFLer Kabir Bajabiamila. And if you haven't gotten a chance to read it, it's all over Twitter. Three parts. It's a long read. You got to really invest some time into it. Maybe take your phone into the bathroom with you, because I know that you guys spend a lot of time in there. You might get through a piece or two. And the author of that, Kaylin Kaler, is going to join us later in the show as well. I mean, this is a deep dive into some very bizarre stuff. So I'd love to hear the process she went through for that article. We're also going to hear from Liz Clark of The Washington Post. She, one of the authors of that expose, the scandal story that broke yesterday that everyone was waiting for, from dream job to nightmare, about more than a dozen women who allege sexual harassment and verbal abuse by former team employees in the Washington football franchise. So obviously that was something that dominated talk last night as the article dropped around, 5 p.m. Eastern time. Katie, what was your reaction to that story?
So I'll be curious to see what you think of this. And so on Tuesday, right, was the initial date that it was supposed to drop. The Washington Post said that they had, you know, earth-shattering information that was going to be bigger news than the Washington Redskins deciding to change their names. And so I thought, oh my gosh, what is going to come out about the Washington Redskins? Because this is going to be huge. And then they pushed it back to Thursday. And all of this was circulating around Daniel Snyder specifically, right? Daniel Snyder, this is going to be damning information about Daniel Snyder. And say what you want about the guy. I know he doesn't have a lot of fans in his corner and supporters. I think the internet sometimes is a detriment, Jen, because I think it overhyped what was supposed to come out. And I'm not diminishing the horrific items that were explained in detail in this expose of what women went through. But I have to be honest, I was expecting Daniel Snyder to be a part of those allegations personally, Jen. And when he wasn't, for all the people who said this is going to be information leading up that is going to make him have to sell the team, he's not going to have any other option than selling the team. When I read the article twice, I don't know if it's the necessary information to make and force Daniel Snyder to actually have to sell it, because he wasn't personally included in the allegations. Now, what went on in the culture? The culture's messed up and the culture needs to change without a doubt. And what happened to those women when they were going to do their jobs and the things that they had to think about while trying to perform and make sales, like, that's awful to me. And it seems like they had a lot of bad eggs that thought that that kind of activity and that inappropriate behavior was condoned. I'm glad they got rid of a couple of those people and they decided to leave. Alex Santos, Richard Mann being one, Larry Michael, the voice of the Redskins for so long. But I don't know, Jen, and I'm curious to hear what you think, if that's the kind of allegations, because he's not personally included in them, to force him to sell the Washington Redskins.
I think you make a great point in that the article doesn't exist in a vacuum, right? It didn't exist solo. It wasn't by itself. It was affected by all of the things you mentioned, which was this idea. It's been affected by the fact that the team has been in the news recently for being, you know, having this racial nickname and pressure to change it, and the sponsors that have pulled their support of the team if they didn't change the name. So like all of that was in there as well. It's not as though this was just like this arbitrary team that no one was thinking about, that no one was talking about, that hadn't been accused already of having a questionable culture, right? So then, like you said, it's supposed to drop early and people are like, when's it coming? We're all like salivating because we love scandal. We love the dirty details. We love like reading all of that like salacious stuff. And the problem with that is exactly what you said. When we weren't fed it right away, when it didn't come when we wanted to, right? This like immediate gratification society that we live in. I want it now. Give it to me right now. Then we were able to imagine and create ideas about what it could be, right? And so like that was the biggest issue I saw leading into the release of this piece, which, as you state, has merits all on its own. Like, it's a topic that needs to be discussed. It's obviously something that is a problem in the sports industry and beyond. But it was more problematic that people were hypothesizing and like guessing as to like what it was about. I saw some of our colleagues' names and former colleagues' names being dragged through the mud, like completely unfairly, as people were trying to speculate if they were involved in this, you know, titillating scandal. Like, that's not right. I saw mentioning of like of Epstein. Like, ooh, is Epstein going to be involved in this? Like, you're talking about one of the most like terrible people of the last, you know, however long you want to go, last decade, right? As far as like what he was accused of. And now you're attaching that to this. Like, all of that was like wholly unfair. And again, the merits of the article alone, they're there. We need to talk about the systematic harassment, sexual harassment and sexism that exists in these spaces. But damn, if they didn't mess up the process by letting people spin on it for a couple of days. And the reporters who put out like, yeah, yo, dog, I'm hearing some stuff. It's not good. Like, it really was problematic.
I know. And I hate that part because I think Twitter, as great as it is, can be a detriment. Social media in general can be a detriment. And I don't want to overhyped isn't the proper word for it, because that diminishes what happened to these women in this article, which is horrible. And they shouldn't have had to have dealt with that on a day-to-day basis. And they shouldn't be crying in the bathroom at lunch break with others who are going through the same thing. And they shouldn't have to be fending off sexual advance after sexual advance via text message, you know, in fear of trying to keep their job. But at the same time, your point, like, you're reading things on Twitter, like, is he actually a friend of Jeffrey Epstein? And was he a part of that circle? Like, that's crazy. And that's unfair that so many people's name got dragged through the mud because people were just creating things to create it while we waited. And that's the detriment of social media. And I hate that for some people who yesterday and the day before probably were days of hell for them, of wondering, what is this Washington Post expose going to be about? Am I included? I have no idea. I mean, the whole thing I thought wasn't good. I didn't think it looked good from the optics. I thought that it was handled poorly, to say the least. And I think a lot of people were fueling the handling of it just from spouting off on their Twitter. And that to me was unfair for a lot of people.
And it minimized ultimately, and I don't think this was the intention at all, it ended up minimizing the story because it couldn't live up to the expectations that people had created in their mind. It's kind of like when you read a book and you picture who plays the main characters in your head, and then that book gets turned into a movie and you're like, no, man, that's not how
that's
I pictured
how I
in my head.
It.
Like, that's not how it went down in my head. And it can't ever live up to the story you created in your brain. And the problem is, this is already an issue, Katie, as I'm sure you well know, as many of our female colleagues in this space know, that already gets minimized.
Oh,
we're
absolutely
already told, relax, you're no fun. Just go
it's
along.
It's just a joke.
Yeah, don't rock the boat. Oh, I thought you were cooler than that. And then you're sitting there questioning your own judgment, going, am I being gaslit right now? Or maybe I am overly sensitive. Maybe this is just how it goes. Hey, I want to be accepted in this space. Maybe I do need to just go along. And like, if you think that that's not something that happens regularly for women in the space, just scroll through Twitter, man. Just scroll through Twitter over the last 24 hours and look at all the women who have identified with what those 15 women talked about in the Washington Post piece. We are going to be joined by Liz Clark of the Washington Post, one of the two articles, along with Will Hobson, who put together this expose on the rampant sexual harassment in the Washington football franchise offices. As Katie alluded to, many of the people who have been singled out and named in the piece have since been fired or left. I believe the play-by-play guy that you mentioned announced yesterday that he was quote-unquote retiring from the team. How convenient.
Yep. It's been a good run, is what he said.
What
I'm sure
timing.
It has.
I'm sure he's got many, many other things that he'll be focusing his attention on now. So yeah, we're going to talk more about this on the Dan Le Batard Show. We have a lot of other things to get to. ESPN released a list of the best arena hype music, and we have some problems with it. Come on. Get it. If you get a chance, subscribe to ESPN Daily. It was put out in the ESPN Daily email. It's a great compilation, but come on. Katie, I know you were like, mm-mm.
Oh, I have notes. I actually wrote them down because I'm this invested in this.
Katie George didn't take any notes on the Washington Post article, but she has many, many on the hype music list that ESPN Daily put out. This is the Dan Le Batard Show on ESPN Radio. Playing the part of Dan Le Batard today is me, Jen Latta. Playing the part of Stu Gotz today is Katie George. Thanks for hanging out with us, guys. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive's Home Insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com today. We have been talking about the article that dropped last night in the Washington Post regarding the culture of sexual harassment within the Washington football franchise's office. There's been a lot of reaction to it. We were discussing how it almost was a letdown, and by no fault of the content or the women who have experienced these horrible things at their workplace, this hostile work environment, but because of the delay in the release of the article and because of the way that the Washington football franchise has been in the news recently and all of the conversations circulating around the racism and the sponsors and all of that stuff, people were speculating, and their speculations were like Netflix special type stuff, like Dirty John type stuff, like Unsolved Mysteries craziness, what happened to Ray type stuff, right? Like, I mean, it's just people's brains were just going crazy. And so when the article was released talking about this culture of sexual harassment, there was a reaction that was like, oh, that's it? That's what we got all worked up about? And we feel like that's not fair, because their story obviously is something that deserves to be talked about. It is something that is, whether you want to believe it or not, rampant in the sports world and probably elsewhere. I can only speak for my personal experiences, but I've got stories. Katie, I'm guessing you have stories as well. I don't know if they meant to have two women on the Dan Le Batard Show the day after the Washington Post article about sexual harassment dropped. I think it was purely coincidence, but here we are. So another question that people are talking about is, what is Dan Snyder's culpability in all of this? Look, as you mentioned, Katie, he is not a likable character. He's not one of those people that you, when you're looking for godparents of your kids, you go, you know who would be great? Dan Snyder. Sign him up for that job, right? I mean, like, people just traditionally don't like him. And the reputation is well earned. Like, we could go on and on about the stuff that Snyder has done as he's owned the team. But we don't have time for that right now. My question to you is, what is his role in what these women experienced?
Yeah, that's a tricky question, right? And I don't know the inner workings of the Washington Redskins and how they have everything set up in-house, right? But I can speak to my experiences with the Bucks. I worked for a team, the Milwaukee Bucks, for a year, and it was one of the best years of my life. It was owned by four different owners, joint owners, okay? They did not work in the building. They didn't live in Milwaukee. They owned the team. A lot of them lived in New York. We saw them at plenty of home games. We saw them on the road. They came to so many road games. And so that's how I came to know the four different owners for the Bucks. What I'm saying is this. They don't see the day-to-day, the inner workings of what's happening at the office, right? What's happening within cubicles or offices, or what's being said from employee to employee. That's on the shoulders of other people, right? Who they put in place, right? As an owner who you hire to be your president, who you hire to be your COO in your C-suites, your executives. That's on you. And it seems that the executives that he hired drop the ball on many cases. I will say, in reading the Washington Post article, Jen, my biggest concern is, why don't they have a bigger HR department? Like, that's a problem to me, that the HR department for the Washington Redskins, an NFL team, with a storied history only has one person that people can actually pick out of a crowd and say, hey, I think that's our HR rep. Like, if anything bad happens, I think maybe that's the person we should go to, and I think that's the person I can talk to. To me, that's a problem. When I worked for the Bucks, I could have picked out five people from the HR department, and that's an NBA team. And so for me, I think that the structure of the organization is a problem, and the culture, obviously, that was allowed and flourished there, that they allowed such inappropriate behavior, was the problem. And so, yeah, I think that's where Daniel Snyder could be on the hook, is the people that he put in place to make sure this stuff didn't happen, and it did under their watch.
It's tricky, which I think is the very first thing you said, because you don't want to be a hypocrite in this space, right? You don't want to condemn Daniel Snyder because he's just not a likable guy, and then be okay with Mark Cuban to talk to about somebody in your NBA space, Katie, mm-hmm. who oversaw something very similar with the Mavs, but kept his job, you know, made what seemed to be a heartfelt apology about the culture that was beneath him, and kind of, you know, took the position that I didn't know any of this was going on, but if I had known any of this was going on, there would have been swift repercussions, and there, you know, we would. So, like, it's hard to sit there and go, well, we were okay with Mark Cuban keeping his job and keeping the team and saying that he was going to do better going forward, and not give Daniel Snyder the same benefit of the doubt. Like, that's tricky, right? The problem is Snyder has a longer rap sheet, for lack of a better term, right? Like, he's got all of these other perceived errors in judgment.
Sure.
The least of which is not having a racist name for many, many, many years and resisting and saying, capital, never will I change the name, right? So, like, he just doesn't get that benefit of the doubt that we have given to Mark Cuban, and I don't want to be a hypocrite in that space.
Well, it's like, think about the New England Patriots penalty, their most recent penalty, right? Like, for filming the sidelines, a TV crew that's not even on the football ops side. When we all saw that penalty, we were like, $1 million, wow, a third rounder? Like, that's a big deal, right? For the charge, maybe not. Like, is the crime worth the punishment? Probably not, but this wasn't the Patriots' first offense. Right. So it was a compilation of a couple different instances where they towed the line or crossed the line. And now they're getting a really big consequence coming down for filming the sidelines. Like, for me, when I look at Daniel Snyder, he's wrapped up in a lot of different issues right now. Negative headline after negative headline. And now this comes down. It looks maybe a lot worse than if this was just a vacuum situation of, hey, this culture is terrible, they need to fix it. He didn't know it was going on during his watch. Now he does. He's going to make the necessary changes and get the right people and restructure the HR department, whatever. That would be better. But because, to your point, this isn't in a vacuum and a lot of things have transpired under his ownership, it looks worse and it looks bad and it looks like he is more likely to be on the hook for something like this.
And, man, we haven't even gotten into the allegations, right? Like, we've been talking about, like, the lead up to the release of the story, Daniel Snyder's culpability in the story. We haven't even, I guess I assume that many people were able to, like, take 10 minutes yesterday and read it because, like, the anticipation was so big and everybody's like, I want to know what it is. I'm just assuming that a lot of people saw it. I mean, we could dive into some of these things, guys. They're nasty. Like, they're despicable. Right? We're talking about, like, plexiglass, plexiglass stairway that women had to be careful about walking down because men could literally be beneath them looking up their skirts.
I mean, that, like, happened in, like, the second grade to me. Like, come on. Like, these
when
are
you were
grown
up on the monkey bars?
Men. Right. My school jumper or whatever. And you wear Sophie shorts underneath to deter that. Like, how are women having to think about this in the workplace? It's 2020.
It's messed up, man. Guests on the Dan Lebatard Show appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Pennzoil synthetic motor oils are made from natural gas. It gives you unbeatable engine protection. The proof is in the Pennzoil, based on sequence 4A wear test using SAE 5W30. Jen Latta, Katie George. We are not Dan and Stu Gotts, much to your disappointment, I'm sure. But we have been talking coincidentally about the story that broke on the Washington Post last night, the story of the rampant sexual harassment within the Washington football franchise's front office and beyond. Katie and I would much rather be talking about some other stuff, guys. We would. We would love to be talking about, I don't know, anything else? What size shoes we wear? The color of our masks? Like, anything else, guys. Really. But this is a story that broke last night, so we have been talking about it for the last half hour. We're going to take a break from it right now because on the ESPN Daily email, if you don't subscribe to ESPN Daily, it's really easy to fix that. Just go to the ESPN app, find the Daily link, click it. Drops in your inbox every day. It's a good little way to shake it up. You can also listen to the ESPN Daily podcast with Mina Kime, soon to be Pablo Torre. But it's just a way to kind of get your daily sports fix early in the morning. I love it. It's one of the first things I open up. And today, Katie, I'm not going to lie.
You're upset.
Not thrilled. Not thrilled.
Tell us why. Use well, this as your therapy session.
And I will do that. You just need to give me a minute to vent on this, just to like stew on this, because first I need you to get to our SportsCenter update.
Ah, yes. 15 women who previously worked for Washington's NFL organization have alleged sexual harassment and verbal abuse by former scouts and members of owner Daniel Snyder's inner circle. Rogers Place in Edmonton, one of the two arenas the NHL is using as a hub to restart its season this summer, suffered water damage Thursday night as a significant storm came through the city, but officials say that it should be ready by the time the NHL restarts. And finally, in the early 1900s, avocados were referred to as alligator pears. Yes, you heard that correctly. In the early 1900s, avocados were referred to as alligator pears. For all the latest headlines and information, tune into SportsCenter on ESPN Radio all throughout the day.
Would you believe, Katie George, that I knew that about the avocado?
No, you didn't.
Yes, I did, because we play trivia here at the house, and I think it recently popped up on one of our trivia games. Like, I think my kid plays Trivia Royale. Have you played this game at all? It's like you sign in. There's like 1,000 people that play, and you answer trivia questions. And if you win your round, you move on. So then the next round has like 500 people. And if you win your next round...
Oh, wait. I do know this. It's on the app, right?
Yeah.
And it only happens... Isn't like HVQ... Guys, what is it? Chris, I'm sure you know. What is this one? HVQ or something? Like, there's a host...
HQ. Are you talking about just HQ?
Is it HQ, Jen?
Yes.
Maybe. I don't know. These are details that I need to get from my 11-year-old, because he's the one that really introduces us to all the cool stuff. I mean, like, he told us about TikTok like a year ago. And we were like, yeah, go back to your room, right? Unfortunately, he did the same thing with this Trivia Royale. And one of the questions recently was about avocados and alligator?
Pears.
Pears, alligator
Which,
pears,
to be
yes.
fair, now that I think about it, Chris, who found that gem, a diamond in the rough, if you will, it makes sense.
Perfect sense.
It's got that coarse, gross, gross shell, and it does, I mean, it is in the shape of a pear, not to mention it's green most of the time.
I'm trying to think of what I would name other fruits, if I had to come up with like a creative name for other fruits, and I'm coming up blank. Like a banana, like a... you know what? Never mind on the banana. Let's move on.
Let's put somebody on the spot. Roy, what would you call a coconut if it didn't go by coconut?
Oh, man, that's a good question. I don't know. I would say...
Billy, do you have an idea? A what?
Well, yeah. So, like, lemons are like yellow oranges.
I would call it a husk fruit.
A husk fruit?
Yeah. It's got that, like, rough...
Yeah.
Exterior. All right. I think we need to think on this. This isn't one of those things where you can just like off the top of your head.
Chris is laughing. Why are you laughing? Why are you laughing up there?
I'm laughing because it is a tough game to play on the spot. I was trying to think of an apple, and I was going down the path instead of, because if an avocado is an alligator, an apple is maybe like a cardinal. And I was trying to think of what the next word would be. I don't know. I'm trying to, like, a red apple, obviously, is what I'm talking about. Billy, help me out here.
I have another one. Lime is a green orange. So we have yellow oranges, green orange.
Okay. Wow. We're not thinking outside the box.
We're not giving you credit for either of those answers.
But they have the same texture, right? They're just different colors.
I mean, yeah, but like I feel like you could take it a step further. Like, you're in the box, I want you to be outside the box, you know, when
okay.
we do this exercise, like step outside the box.
I got you. All right. So an orange then would be an orange lime.
How about that?
I think in the next break, we all focus on one fruit, and when we come back from break, then you have to say what your new name for that is.
It doesn't necessarily have to be a fruit, though, right? Is an avocado a fruit?
It is.
It is a fruit.
Yeah, it is technically a fruit. Technically a fruit. Technically. A lot of people think it's a vegetable. It's a fruit.
Is that
it's
like not tomato? The tomato is technically a fruit as well? Isn't that the other one that messes people up?
Yep.
Basically, when I'm at Kroger, I basically do a quiz of myself. And you know when you can search by picture? I'll just type, I'll click fruits, and then I make sure that I know all the fruits are in that category on the checkout screen. Do you know what I'm saying? It's like the self-checkout?
Well, I know what you're saying.
It's a good way to check yourself, you know?
I would love to tell you that there is no judgment happening right now, Katie, but that would be a lie.
Thank God.
Thank God. Yeah, Roy. Thank you.
Speaking of judgment, guys, the ESPN Daily List came out today, and in it was a list of the best arena hype music, right? So I got super excited about this because I love me some music, and I was thinking, okay, yeah, let's do this. 7 a.m., let's listen to some tunes, let's hear some stuff, get pumped up as though I'm at my favorite arena. Remember those days? RIP, going to your favorite arena, y'all. And I'm not gonna lie, Katie, I was not thrilled with this list. Like, some of the songs really good, but the rankings not great. Do you have it there in front of you? Can you rattle them off for us?
Yes. Would you like 1 through 10 or 10 through 1?
I think you got to go 10 through 1 because that's how it was presented in the ESPN Daily article this morning, the newsletter.
So coming in at number 10 was Bodak Yellow by Cardi B, which, to be fair, hypes me up. I don't know. I feel you guys are nodding your head, like you're feeling it. You guys like this one?
But it's a little mellow for the arena, right?
Until she starts rapping, then I think it gets a little bit more hype. Okay, so coming in at number 9, I think we can all agree this is an arena or stadium favorite, Enter Sandman, Metallica. Great beat. I mean, yep, thank you, Spencer.
I mean, who do you think of immediately? First person you think of when you hear Enter Sandman is Mariano Rivera. Right?
It's the Miami Heat.
See, it's so interesting how that becomes like a regional thing.
It is. Okay, coming in at number 8, and I feel like this one might cause some controversy. I love this song, but coming in at number 8 is Truth Hurts by Lizzo. And so, hear me out. Like, if I'm having a girls' night with my girls, and they come over, and we're having, like, you know, drink round one, round two of a couple drinks before we actually go where we're going. Like, this is the song that's played. I don't think this is played in an arena getting hyped for a game.
I agree. Great song. Totally an earworm, right? Like, once you hear it, it's there for the next 48, 72 hours. Do you ever wake up in the middle of the night and you're like, why am I singing that song? This is one of those where you, like, wake up in the middle of the night, go to pee, grab some water, and you're like, yeah, but I agree.
See, you guys were judging me for the fruits. Like, I feel like we should judge Jen for that.
For having the song in the head in the middle of the night? No, man, everybody can relate to that. You wake up in the middle of the night and you're like, why am I still singing that song from Hamilton?
Well, that's fair. Okay, so Truth Hurts, Lizzo, number 8. Number 7, Seven Nation Army, The White Stripes.
Totally underrated. Can we get a little beat from Seven Nation Army? What do you got, Chris?
I realized that I just screwed up and that I said that the Miami Heat, this is the Miami Heat song. Not Enter Sandman from a couple.
See,
I'm sorry. That was just a
people get them confused. Okay. You know, no one gets
these songs confused.
The White Stripes don't get it confused, Chris.
This is the number one Billy Wright anthem. Mm-hmm. Number one. Mm-hmm.
This feels like they put it at 7 just to be cute. Cause it's called Seven Nation Army.
Oh, I didn't even put that together.
Yeah, it's not. I think this needs to be higher on the list.
They're
okay.
Not doing it. It's due justice. This deserves, in my opinion, to be number one on the list. This is the one that's a banger. You get in there, you get thousands of people together, and doof, 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 doof. Yeah, I mean, to me, this is the number one stadium anthem. No questions asked.
Number 6.
You know
6,
the other song that people would sing like that? Remember Zombie Nation? That's not on this list, but like you'd have everybody in the car like, oh.
That's a great point.
That's like at every hockey game.
And soccer. I feel like soccer, right? Is that another one?
Yeah,
what
I think
so. What do
you
got, Katie? Number 6.
6 is Lose Yourself, Eminem, which...
Classic.
I mean, I've fallen victim to playing this in the locker room a few times. Love it.
This is legit. I actually think this is probably underrated as well at number 6. We are going to do the rest of this list, guys, after the break. We're getting some feedback here. We love the interaction. The rest of the stadium hype music list coming up after the break here on the Dan Le Batard Show. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Today on ESPN Daily, what will sports sound like without the roar of the crowd? As games come back without live fans, a look at the role of sound in sports from players, broadcasters, and more. That's on ESPN Daily. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Jen Latta, Katie George holding it down for Dan and Stu Gotts. The ESPN Daily podcast is obviously something you should be subscribing to. The ESPN Daily newsletter is also something that you should have dropped into your inbox every day. It's how we came up with this topic because this morning, the ESPN Daily newsletter compiled the list of the best hype music at your stadiums, at your arenas. And I got to tell you guys, we're sitting here rocking out to some of these songs. I got a little sweat going. I got a little perspiration happening on the forehead. My arms are glistening a little bit because I'm getting so amped with these songs. But there's a problem because some of these are not good. They're just not. They're just not good stadium anthem songs. That's taking nothing away from them as songs, but they don't belong in this category, Katie.
No, they don't. And so real quick run through. Bodak Yellow, Inner Sandman, Truth Hurts by Lizzo, Seven Nation Army, and Lose Yourself is 10 through 6. Coming in at number 5 on this list, Humble by Kendrick Lamar. How do we feel about this?
It's a great song.
Great song.
So good.
I don't know, though.
Does not hype me up before a big game.
But here's the question. Is it what gets you hyped up as a fan in the stands? Like, do you want to jump? Do you want to have, like, the rally towel? Or is this what gets you hyped up as an athlete on the court?
Great, great question. Great distinction. I don't know the answer to that. Is this something that gets you hyped up before a big game?
I mean, I think we're going to have to take it as fans because we're not, you know, we're retired athletes at this point. So we're going to have to just take this from, I don't think even as a fan this gets me hyped up. So number 4, a classic, a great, Freddie Mercury, Queen, We Will Rock You.
This is an all-time stadium anthem. No questions asked, right? Like
you can just picture
Freddie like up there. Live Aid type stuff, right? For anybody that saw Bohemian Rhapsody and obviously understands like the impact that the band had worldwide.
Oh, what do you
what,
want,
Chris? What Chris? Are you arguing with this point too?
I feel like you guys are missing the mark on this one. I would rather hear maybe even in the 80s we'd go We Will Rock You. But I think today's, if I'm in an NBA arena or a football stadium right now, I want Be Humble before I want We Will Rock You.
Really? I don't know. Be Humble is just a little too chill for me. It's just a little like Be Humble is something I listen to in the shower with my beer before I go out for the night. Like that's a, you know, your beer shower. Don't you're giving
move.
Me looks like you don't know what a shower beer is.
A beer shower. I like it.
Beer shower is something you see in the locker room after winning the ALCS. The shower
you know
beer
what?
Is something you have before you go out with your friends on Friday night.
Jen has just told us a lot about herself. This means that Jen has a nice home with a nice shower that actually has a ledge that she can set her beer while she showers. Like us peasants who live in apartments, like you can barely find a ledge for your shampoo. So let's just...
That's what I'm trying to figure out. Like, is it a can? Is it a bottle? Yeah.
Is it a koozie? I don't know.
Is there a koozie? Exactly.
And yes, I have shelves. I am bougie. I have a bougie shower.
Good for you. Good for you. All right, we got to keep going. So number 3 is Run the World, Beyonce. Here's the thing. It goes back to Lizzo. I think this is like a night out with the girls. I don't think this is like a hype song in the arena stadium. You guys with me?
Show of hands. I think everybody's with you on that one. Yep.
Number 2, Jen, Timber. Mr. Worldwide, right? Timber is Pitbull, I think.
And yeah. Kesha,
best song
right?
on this list.
Oh, and
best
Kesha.
Song
why
on this
that,
list. This
why is
the best song
two?
On this list. This is a hype song right here. It's people don't think of it. This is a great stadium song.
Okay, well then you're going to be upset about number 1. Don't Stop Believing.
Terrible. Terrible. Terrible.
This is my dad's 40th birthday party.
Get out of here.
Dude, this is karaoke night at
Your
the bar in
40?
New York. Don't argue with me about that. We'll talk more about this list coming up as the Dan Le Batard Show continues here on ESPN Radio.